James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." He replied, "What do you wish me to do for you?" They answered him, "Grant that in your glory we may sit, one at your right and the other at your left." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" They said to him, "We can." Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right or at my left is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at James and John. Jesus summoned them and said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Saint Therese of Lisieux, doctor of the church, died at age 24, one of the greatest and wisest saints in the history of the church, but has been given a gift of getting to the heart of the gospel. She doesn't bother with all the fancy frills, all the things that are too lofty, too complicated, but she just beautifully says the heart of the gospel. She has a prayer when looking at the cross. She gets to the absolute heart, absolute core, and says, "On the cross, Jesus, you saw me. On the cross, our Lord saw each of us." And we can make her prayer ours too and say, "You saw me on the cross." What got us to that point was God in his goodness created everything, and in our sin, we spat in his face. We sinned, we rejected him, created a chasm between us and God, a gap that was impossible to fill except by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When God became separated by man because of man's sin, the only way to bring man back to God was for God to become man in the God-man, Jesus Christ. And by doing so, he brought us back to him. We know this. We've heard the gospel before. We know what had to happen for us to be brought back to God, for us to have a chance to get to heaven. I think sometimes we have this mistaken idea that Jesus, when he saw the gap between us and God, he thought of it just as a job that had to get done, as if Jesus was up in heaven saying, "Okay, like, no one else can do this but us three. I'll bite the bullet. I'll do it." And that's not the case. God so loved the world that he became man, and that while we were sinners, he died for us, not as a duty, not as a task at complete, but out of love for us, out of love for me, that on the cross, he saw me. St. Paul says, "The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me." That the act of the cross is not a job, not a task, but actually something our Lord did for me. Because that's what love does. Something we can't even understand, and yet we are here, and we have to receive it. The Son of God became man, so that man might be joined back to God. But it doesn't even stop there. In God's plan of charity for us, for each of us, he wanted us to be there. We can meditate, we can reflect on our Lord's love for me, in the scriptures especially, absolutely we should. We can go to adoration in the oratory and see him face to face, seeing us. But every single Mass, we are there on Calvary. Every single Mass, we are there when our Lord dies for us. Every single Mass, we can say Teresa's prayer. He sees me. Every time the priest elevates the host, the bells ring three times. We actually make eye contact with Jesus as he's dying for me. We are there at the most sacred moment, the climax of human history, the greatest act of love, and we're there as it's done for me, for all of us, to justify many, but also to justify and save me. At that moment in the Mass, we can look at him as he's looking at us and be there as he is dying for us. It is the greatest act of love, and it happens every single Mass. This is the last thing. The Mass is the most intimate thing on the earth, the act of Christ dying for us. We get to be there and receive his gaze as that happens. It's also quite dangerous. One cannot approach the Mass casually, because it is being there as Jesus dies for me. But to go there, it also has to be a response, and me joining Jesus on the cross. St. Paul's quote, "The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me," that's the second half. The first half is, "I have been crucified with Christ. The life I now live is no longer my own, but Christ lives in me." The Mass is Jesus looking at me as he dies for me. And it has to be me joining with him. Every Mass has to be, "Okay, Lord, you get all of me too." The meeting of eyes has to be myself looking at him with love too and saying, "You get everything." It has to be, "I give my life as a ransom for you and for many, and from that serving the rest of my life, all my days with him." The Mass is not casual. The Mass is intimate. The Mass is dangerous. And it costs us everything. And that is our greatest joy. Let this Mass be the moment we meet eyes with him as he gives his life for us. And let also be that moment we give our lives for him and for all our brothers and sisters. We give our lives for and serve with all our hearts.